Couple things here. First of all, if you are a guest with us this morning, a visitor, we are delighted you are here. And I hope you're delighted you're here as well. And I hope everybody else is delighted you're here. Because God is. I know that for sure. So with that, if you are visiting with us, I want you to know that I am not the normal pulpit minister. I'm one of the shepherds of the flock here at Gary Road. And whether or not that is a blessing to some of you or not, as far as me being in the pulpit, you don't have to tell me. So, and maybe it's based upon time frame, right? So I tend to go a little longer. So let me get a little motherhood here, get my glasses out so I can read what I wrote. couple things. So you saw the scripture, Luke chapter 2 there. And it just so happens that I had this topic picked out long before it was ever decided that I was going to speak on this Sunday. Okay? So that is just a coincidence for you all, as far as that is concerned, because the topic that we're going to talk about this morning, you're going to see, is a topic that can be for all times of the year. It can be for your entire life as a Christian, and that's the reason a lot of times when I start to get passionate about speaking and the Word, I start to go a little fast, and I've been criticized for that, so I'm going to try to keep it a little slower this morning so you can understand what I'm saying. But you'll see it picks up as I get more passionate. But with that, so the topic I've chosen is one that I choose for me, I choose for you, and I choose for the world. A lot of times when I'm thinking about lessons throughout the entire year, you'll find in the back of my Bible, I have all these topics written down. Because as they pop in my head, I got to write them down. Because as I get older, I'm going to forget, right? My phone is full of topics, and this was one of them. One of them I'd written down a few months ago, and I decided to go ahead. I said, I really want to speak on this one. Out of all the topics I had written down, I wanted to speak on this topic specifically. And then it just so happened that Ray's taking vacation, and so the pulpit was open, and instead of having Jonathan fill it for 2 weeks in a row, said, you know what, I'm going to go ahead and take it, and we're going to preach this Sunday. Now, if you were here last year, you will notice that I'm speaking again on the last Sunday of the year. So here's the thing. Sometimes they say they keep the best for last. Sometimes it's to the contrary, right? Well, we finally have to give him one. Again, sometimes you don't need to tell people the truth, right? Remember in Bambi, if you don't have anything good to say, don't say nothing at all, right? So you don't need to tell me which one it is, all right? But as we get into this morning, let's talk about, I thought about, you know, memes. If you see memes on computer, you think about bumper stickers, and you think about some of the sayings. And I thought about, you know what, there's this one saying that I heard ever since I was a teenager growing up, and I saw a bumper sticker, and it said that God said it, I believe it, that settles it. But when I saw that, I said, you know what, no, that's a wrong saying. That's a wrong saying. Guess what, you don't even need that middle line. God said it, that settles it. It doesn't matter whether you believe it or not. It is the truth, whether you believe it or not. God said it, that settles it. And the other thing, I see these signs around, right? Because it's the time of the season. So I thought about this, and as I was thinking about this topic, it says Jesus is the reason for the season. Well, guess what? You can put a period after reason. Jesus is the reason, period, right? For your life, for my life. So let's get into this. Turn it on. This is what I chose, right? Peace on earth. Again, I chose this topic well before I decided to speak on this Sunday. That happens to be the end of the year and around the holiday season. Because we all need peace on earth. And we need to decide, can we have peace on earth? When you look around, is there peace on earth? And so we need to answer some questions here. And one of the first questions we need to answer is there such a thing as peace on earth? Okay, is there such a thing as peace on earth? Well, first of all, let's look at the definition of peace. So what is that definition? It's the freedom from disturbance. It's tranquility. It's very similar to calmness. Okay, that's the first definition of peace. Now let's look at the second. And this is oftentimes what we think about, right, when we don't think about our individual inner peace. We think about this one, a state or period in which there is no war. Okay? So if you look at that in general, for the entire world and then ask yourself this question. Is there such a thing as peace on earth? Do you see peace on earth when you think of these definitions? You look at the entire world as a whole, in general, in unity. Is there peace on earth? Well, that's what we're going to address this morning. Okay, we're going to kind of look at both definitions here as we address this. But since the fall of man, I would argue that there hasn't been peace the way that we oftentimes look at peace. But here's the thing. Look at Genesis chapter 2. We don't have to turn there. I'm just going to summarize because it's a beautiful description of the Garden of Eden. Beautiful description. Now, I don't know which one of you looking at some type of picture like this would not consider this a peaceful setting. Okay? You look at it. It looks so tranquil. It's just the garden itself was full of serenity. There was calmness. There was peace. And no, if you look at the picture, I didn't discover Garden of Eden, so that's not an exact replica, I'm sure. There were rivers running through it, but I found this picture and I thought, oh man, that is just a lovely picture of a garden of peace. That is unless you live in Oklahoma and you see all the trees and you think about the ice storm we just had. Then there's a lot of work to do after an ice storm if you have to clean that up. And we've been there and done that. But then you think about, so we're going from Genesis chapter 2, and then we're going from the fall of man in Genesis chapter 3. So in Genesis chapter 3, we're going to turn over there and look at verses 16 through 19. This is because of the fall of man, because of man's sin, man is now to be kicked out of the garden, right? This place of serenity, this place of peace, this place of walking with God. Man is to be kicked out of the garden in Genesis chapter 3, verses 16 through 19. And what we want to see here, starting in verse 16, to the woman he said, I will greatly multiply you, or your sorrow, and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children, your desire shall be for your husband, he shall rule over you. Then to Adam he said, because you have heeded the voice of your wife, and have eaten from the tree of which I commanded you, saying, you shall not eat of it, cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life. Both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you, and you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return. So does it sound like their tranquility and their serenity was disturbed a little bit because of sin? Yeah, absolutely. You know, oftentimes when we talk about the woman here in the garden, we talk about her toil and her pain in childbearing. We don't think about and often talk about those last couple lines there. Your desire shall be for your husband and he shall rule over you. I will tell you that in the world today, if you look in the world today, that line right there has caused a lot of sleepless nights, of lack of peacefulness in homes all around the world because of what God has to say. So it's not just the pain in childbirth, but it's that right there, right? And unfortunately, sometimes it's even in the church that we don't have peace because of how God has set things up for us. Let me tell you, God said it, that settles it, right? That's the way it works. So the woman's peace has been displaced, the man's peace has been displaced because of their sin. And because of that, we move on to Genesis chapter 4, where you have Cain who murders Abel. Okay, so you have the first murder taking place within the scriptures. This is the beginning of violence, of brother against brother, man against man. So you think, it's violence within their own family. So why would you not think that there's going to be violence between strangers? And if it's happening within their own family, and especially we talk about the first family, right? Not within this country, the first family upon the earth. It's going to happen in that family. It's definitely going to happen in families, right? And it's definitely going to happen between strangers. Okay? So a lot of consternation going on. A lot of lack of peace is what we see. And think about the world in general. If you are a student of the Bible and you have read through the Old Testament, there's so many times throughout the Old Testament you're not going to get this feeling of peace, right? There's not this feeling, even with God's people, there's not this feeling of peace. There have been wars that have raged all throughout the Old Testament, all throughout the beginning of history and all through time. Have there been periods of peace for certain peoples? Absolutely. There was periods of peace for the Israelite children. But yet, if you look at the entire world, you think about sometimes during the period of peace, you look at Asia and what was going on in China, and it wasn't peace in the entire world itself. So, turmoil exists today, and wars are still raging out there. This is just a shot of a little collage of some of the wars that have been raging, some of the battles that have been raging throughout the Old Testament. But we don't need to stop there, because look at America today, right? Have you watched the news? Have you read about the news in America and what's happening today? So here you go, right? There's so many divisions and factions out there. There's definitely violence and murder. And it reminds me of Isaiah, the prophet, chapter 5, verse 20. He says, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil." And you look at this today. People have a heart for violence in this country right now. And even against the very ones that are supposed to protect and keep the law. There's no respect of authority, it seems, anymore. The policeman walking down the street is no longer respected for his authority. Matter of fact, he's got to be on his toes at all times now, because anywhere somebody could walk out trying to kill him and trying to shoot him, trying to assassinate an officer in his car and things like that. That's what's happening in America. The middle picture there, the middle picture, you might recognize if you've been paying attention to the news. That middle picture right there is what just happened in Nashville. Okay? Just happened, that Nashville bomb explosion. So I will tell you that there definitely doesn't appear to be peace on earth when it comes to America right now. You know, you think about what we've been through, what we're going through. We talked about the murder. We got abortion that supposedly is acceptable today, even into the late terms. You've got the pandemic that we're dealing with all around the world. We've dealt with this entire year, right? So it doesn't seem to be very peaceful in this country right now. But here's what I'll say about the pandemic. So I think I would encourage each of us to reach out to those who you haven't seen in a while. Because whereas some of us may have peace, some of us may not have peace. Some of us may have too much peace. And what I say about that is loneliness is a sad thing that will cut your life short. Okay? If you're stuck at home and you're just lonely and you have no human contact, nobody sending cards, nobody calling, it can be a very deadly thing for that individual that is isolated. Okay? So I would encourage us all to do what we can to reach out. Pull out your directory and just open it up and see the pictures of those you haven't seen in a while. And just make a phone call. I'm sure they'd be glad to hear from you. Take a meal over to them or anything like that. But you see what's happened in our life, and especially this year, right? Our tranquility, our calmness, our serenity has been disturbed. So you think about Christians, okay, from the idea of Christians. Paul wrote in Romans 12, 18. Here's what we need to remember. Regardless of what's going on out there, regardless of what you see, regardless of what you read, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So we're not the instigators, right? We're not the instigators. We don't need to be out there and instigating and encouraging people to be violent against other people. Yes, there are things we can do. There are simple protests. We have freedoms in this country, right? For now, we have freedoms in this country. And you as a Christian can take hold of those freedoms, but act accordingly. Because Paul says, as much as it depends on you, live peaceably with all men. So there are certain things we can do within the law and within the realm of the law. But here's how it goes, right? And you have to hear me what I say here. As long as humans exist for their will alone, there will never be peace. As long as humans exist upon this earth for their will alone, there will never be peace. Because that's contrary to the next topic we're going to talk about, with justice, or Jesus' peace. Okay? Jesus is peace. Did you know that? Did you know that Jesus actually is peace? So when you think about the definition of peace, and someone asks you the definition of peace, or what do you think about peace? All you have to say is Jesus. Because Jesus is peace. Let's go back and look at Luke chapter 2, 13 and 14. That was our reading this morning. Because at the end there, I wanted to put the context in the frame of Jesus' birth. But here in verses 13 and 14, it says, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. So you think about that. So I think sometimes we've read through it so many times, we've heard it so many times, and especially around this time of year, we've heard it so many times that we become desensitized to it, or we don't really see and we don't really get the minute detail of what we're seeing here. Because he says, and on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. That goes back to the peace and the tranquility that we're talking about, and that goes back to, look at the context. The context is about whom? It's about Jesus Christ. And on earth, peace, goodwill toward men. Jesus came. Jesus is born. Here's peace and goodwill toward men from God. We're going to look at a couple of the Old Testament prophecies as they tell the forecoming of the Messiah. And the first one we're going to look at is Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 6 and 7. You know, I appreciate Rick for the songs that he sang. And if you think about them, that last one, Peace Like a River, right? And I showed you the tranquil slide there of the garden. You think about that, you think about peace, you think about these songs that talk about what we're going to get into here toward the end, that you can have peace. Isaiah says here, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. His name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Okay? This is the foretelling of the coming of the Messiah, of his many titles. One of his many titles is Prince of Peace, because Jesus is peace. I'm going to talk a little about that. I'm going to turn to the book of Micah. So if you've been following us on Sunday mornings, we just finished up a study with Ray of the minor prophets within the Old Testament. And what a good study it was. A lot of times it is so difficult just to cover in one class the intricacies and the details of these minor prophets. But he was just giving a cursory overview of what they were about and whether it was to Israel or to Judah or to both. So Micah here. Micah is giving us in chapter 5, verses 2 through 5. He again is prophesying about the coming of the Messiah. And he says here, starting in verse 2, but you, Bethlehem, Ephrathah, though you are little among the thousands of Judah, yet out of you shall come forth to me the one to be ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. Therefore he shall give them up until the time that she who is in labor has given birth, then the remnant of his brethren shall return to the children of Israel. Verse 4, and he shall stand and feed his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God, and they shall abide. For now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and this one shall be peace. So scriptures tell us themselves that this coming Messiah is peace. And then we see within the context, it says, and our earth peace, goodwill toward men. This is God's peace and God's goodwill toward man that he is bringing to man himself. So that begs a question to us. We've seen what's going on in the world. We've seen that Jesus is peace. We claim to be Christians. So therefore, can you have peace on earth? And what I'm here to tell you this morning, this is what I said, this is for any time of year. This is for any time of your life as a Christian. You can have peace on earth. You have to take hold of it. It doesn't matter what's going on. What's going on in the world, what's going on in this country, no matter whom the next president might be, no matter the infringement upon your civil liberties, your freedoms in this country, no matter if you lose your job, you lose your home, you lose your family, you lose your loved ones, you lose everything that you ever had, like Job, you can still have peace on earth. The fact is, Luke chapter 2 tells us that on earth, peace, goodwill toward men, that you can have peace on earth because God brought it. God gave it. You have to take hold of that. So we're going to look at a couple things here. We're going to look at first what Paul had to say in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Because what he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. So if you haven't memorized this, oftentimes we go to this when we're thinking about the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. We talk about this, but do we realize the detail here? Because the detail there is, this kind of peace isn't possible without Jesus. If you don't have Jesus, you're not going to have this kind of peace. Jesus is peace, and Paul tells us here it's through Jesus Christ that you get that peace that surpasses all understanding, that peace of God. So, going back to look at just before his crucifixion, Jesus had a lot to say to his disciples about this and about peace itself. And you think about the time in which they were living, right? Think about what was just getting ready to happen. Think about the persecutions and all that. And what did Jesus have to say about it? Well, in this context, you're going to see, we're going to go to John chapter 16. You're going to see that he's talking to his disciples about the coming helper and about their sorrow and about what's to come and about him being Jesus Christ. You know, Jonathan alluded to this last week when he talked about in Mark about they see, but they don't really see. And they don't really see who he is. And Jesus is trying to tell them. And so in 16:31 through 33, you see Jesus answered them and said, do you now believe? Indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come, that you will be scattered each to his own and will leave me alone. And yet I am not alone, because the Father is with me. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So here you see, first of all, Jesus is telling them, you're going to be scattered. Okay, you're going to be scattered. So here's the thing. Is it better to do a job together and encourage one another, or to be scattered and do it by yourself? Right? How easy is it to do it, pick it up all by yourself and do it without encouragement, without someone walking with you and without someone helping you? He tells them, you're going to be scattered. And you're going to be scattered. And then he says, you're going to leave me alone. But look at this detail here. You're going to be scattered. You're going to leave me alone. Yet I'm not alone. That's a lesson for us. We're not alone. Regardless, if there is no human being surrounding us, helping us, walking with us, we're not alone. Because just as Jesus said, yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. That's the same for you and me. We're not alone because the Father's with us. And it goes on top about the happenings of the world and about the trials and the tribulations. But here's the thing. He says right at the end, I have overcome the world. That's encouragement for you and me. He's already been there. He's already done that. You can have peace in Jesus Christ. He tells his disciples, in me you may have peace. You may have peace in Jesus Christ because he's been there, because he's done that. He's overcome. He's conquered. And you are his disciple. You are his follower. And therefore, encouraging to you, you can do the same. You can overcome. And you can have peace in Jesus Christ. He also, just a little bit earlier in the book of John, now we know that this has happened in a one evening time frame, right, after the Passover, but in John chapter 14, again, talking to his disciples, right, he's talking about how he is in the Father's in him, he is deity, right? So in John 14, verses 25 through 27, again, he is again talking to his disciples. And what does he tell them? He says, these things I have spoken to you while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Here's the thing. This last line is this disclaimer. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Jesus and the peace that Jesus gives is nowhere near the kind of peace that we often think about when we think about the world and what the world can offer. When man lives for his will and his will alone, there will not be peace. When man lives for the will of Jesus, for the will of God, you can definitely have peace. Regardless of circumstances, you can have peace. We're going to go back to Luke chapter 2, right? Luke chapter 2. If you think about this context back again in the birth of Christ, and following the law and coming to the temple, and they run into this devout man. This devout man's name is Simeon. Okay, and we're going to look at Simeon here. Because there's a lot to offer us when we talk about peace. Luke chapter 2, we're going to look at verses 25 through 32. Luke chapter 2, verses 25 through 32. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And this man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. And the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. So he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people, Israel. It was not lost on Simeon of who Jesus was. So you think about that. This servant had been waiting for the consolation of Israel to be able to see him before he departed. And he says, now that I've seen this child, he's seen salvation. And he says, I can depart in peace because of that salvation. And for us, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles. We liken unto the Gentiles who are afar off, and also the glory of your people, Israel. This Jesus, this peace, was to all mankind. Israel, Gentiles, circumcised, uncircumcised, male, female, Jew, Greek, didn't matter. The peace is for everyone. It's for everyone if you'll take hold of it. So in conclusion this morning, what does that mean for us? Okay, what does that mean for us? Well, it means we too can have peace on earth. Okay, we can have peace on earth, not because of ourselves, but because of Jesus Christ. That's why we can have peace on earth. Jesus was, Jesus is peace on earth. In John 14, 6, again talking to his disciples, John 14, 6, he said to them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Jesus knew that he was the peace that he could offer mankind, and it was only through him that they could come and find that peace. Remember going back to Philippians there, it was only through Jesus that you're going to get the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. In Acts 4, 12, it says, nor is there salvation in any other, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. That name is Jesus Christ, and he can be your peace here upon this earth. Why? Because Jesus brought reconciliation, he brought forgiveness, and he brought salvation. Jesus is peace on earth. Because we now do the Lord's Supper, after the lesson, I'm going to end with this, with the same topic, with a little transition of thinking about how we, through Jesus Christ, have peace on earth. You can turn with me to Ephesians chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 11 through 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 18. Again, Paul writing to those Christians in Ephesus, he said, therefore, remember that you, once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision, made in the flesh by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were afar off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one, has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in the ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. It's only through Jesus that we have access to this peace. You know, there was Christ on earth. He was in the flesh. It was his life. It was his death. It was his example. It was his victory over death. All that afforded us as Christians the opportunity to have peace on earth. So it's there. It's there for the taking. It's there for the having. It's there for your mind. It's there for your peacefulness. It doesn't matter what happens in the world. It doesn't matter what happens to you. You know, sometimes we find life so difficult, but then I always go back to the first century and to the Christians who were martyred and were persecuted and were killed because of their faith in Christ, because of their proclaiming the gospel. That definitely didn't seem like peace to them, but yet, even Paul himself, all he's been through in 2 Corinthians 11, all he's been through, you can go read about that. And yet in Philippians chapter 1, he says, to live is Christ, to die is gain. Do you think Paul has peace? Absolutely, Paul has peace. And that kind of peace that Paul has, that peace that Jesus had when he was going to the cross, knowing that he was going to have victory over death, and that he was going to be with his Father again, and that he was not alone, you can have that kind of peace. You can have that kind of peace if you live by yourself. You can have that kind of peace. So do you have that peace? And if you don't have that peace, why don't you have that peace? If you haven't been clothed with the body of Christ through baptism into his body, then you don't have access to the peace that we're talking about today. I oftentimes think about how do people live their lives for nothing more than what they see here upon this earth? What kind of peace is that? When you have to undergo so many of the trials and tribulations here upon this earth with no hope to look forward to. That can't give you peace, the kind of peace we're talking about. So are you anxious? Are you lacking in your faith? Think about the times that we've had this year. Right? Has this made you anxious? Has this made you disturbed in your tranquility, your serenity, within your own soul, within your own body, within your relationship between yourself and God? Because you can get that back. You can get that back. You can just get that back by giving it all over. Giving it all over to God. Letting him take the burden. Let Jesus take the burden. Christians, let fellow Christians help you with the burden. But in order to do that, we've got to open up. And in order to do that, we've got to make ourselves vulnerable. And we don't like to do that, do we? So think about that. We can help each other. We can help each other in our walk to heaven. You know, I think about Hebrews chapter 12, 1. The author and finisher of our faith, Jesus Christ, who's sitting at the finish line. He's waiting for us, right? Keep your eyes focused. Keep the focus on Christ, regardless of what happens in this life. And he will be your peace. Right? He'll be your peace. So, if you don't have Jesus, or you don't have that peace, and you'd like to have it, he can offer it. And we can help you with that. So, if you have a need this morning of anything, not even if it's just related to peace, anything in your life that we can help you with or that we can pray for, we just ask that you go ahead and make that known to us as we go ahead and stand and sing this invitation song.